Hardware.
Mrs. Crabtree.
Mrs. Ryland.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1292, April 22nd, 2024. 90 degrees on this day in 1980. And 23 degrees on this day in 1974. And with the swimming season approaching us, you'll be doing yourself a favor by getting a hold of Aquaside. They've been helping people maintain great lake shores and swimming holes and swimming ponds for more than 60 years with a complete line of lake and pond control products that take care of everything from weeds to algae. The products are easy to use. They work quickly. They're made right in White Bear Lake. They're registered with both the EPA and DNR, and these products are safe. Call Aquaside, tell them what you're staring at and you want to be rid of, and they'll make sure you get the right products. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com, and Aquaside brings us the ice outs. Very few today. Minnetonka went out on Earth Day. In 1952. But there was no Earth Day in 1952. Yeah. Earth Day was begun in 1970. And Minnetonka did go out on Earth Day in 1983. And White Bear went out on Earth Day in 1974.
Hail the flashlight, King!
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic. With Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
On Friday's show, we had fired South High teacher Becca Thompson. And the emailers enjoyed that, including William Curie, who writes, "Make her the garage logician mathematician."
Ooh, I like that.
"I have been listening to Garage Logic since it started. I now listen to your podcast from Finland, in Europe, not Minnesota. You would be surprised at how many garage logicians live here. Thank you for years of logic and laughter. We are getting snow flurries today. Hope it's the last." And this is the sunset yesterday in Merikavaria, Finland, my home, and he sent a beautiful picture of the sunset. He lives on water.
I wonder where we are in Finland. We're number one in Anguilla.
Yeah. You know what? I bet we're damn close to being number one in Finland.
Probably.
And Willard Anger writes, "Thanks for having Becca on the show. She's cool. I think she's a GLer and doesn't know it. She likes discipline. She owns a motorcycle, intends to work on it, has moxie, etc. One thing I took away is that unprofessional communication equals telling the truth, which is grounds for termination in Minneapolis Public Schools, apparently. Number one in Little Dick's Anguilla, Anguilla, and our hearts, Willard." I would love to have Becca Thompson on. More often.
Well, and as she's pointed out, she's got time.
Right, and I want to just clear this up, because everything gets cleared up on Garage Logic.
Right.
Either from you fellows, which is rarely, or from listeners.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Build up on that.
Tim Buck2 writes, "On Friday's podcast, you discussed Joe Biden's claim that a relative was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea. Biden is a former vice president, and perhaps he was just confusing himself with another former vice president who did actually lose a relative to cannibals in New Guinea. Nelson Rockefeller served as vice president from 1974 to 1977. His 23-year-old son Michael went to New Guinea in 1961 to collect native art for his father's Museum of Primitive Art in New York. His catamaran capsized off the coast of New Guinea, and he swam ashore to a village inhabited by the Asmat people, who were known for cannibalism. Most researchers believe he was eaten by cannibals, as his body or remains were never found, despite the extensive resources of the Rockefeller family. There is a Minnesota connection to Michael Rockefeller. Governor Mark Dayton's first wife was Alida Rockefeller, the daughter of John D. Rockefeller III. Her uncle was Nelson Rockefeller, and Nelson's son Michael was her cousin.
Small world.
Who is the millionaire whose grandson was kidnapped and he refused to pay the ransom?
J. Paul Getty.
That wasn't a Rockefeller. All right.
Didn't they cut his ear off or something?
Cut his ear off.
Yeah.
We should get an update from the gov, former gov.
Wouldn't you have been, hey, Dad, just, you know, square up. I want to keep my ears. I'd be mad. Wouldn't you be mad?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Welcome back, Matthew.
Yeah, hi. Did you miss me?
We now have a new homeless and starving person in America.
Oh, no.
Ilhan Omar's daughter, Isra Hirsi, who attends Barnard and Columbia, apparently was suspended for a few days from Barnard for her participation of a camp-in on the lawn of Columbia in support of Hamas and in defiance of the Israeli state. And John in Arizona writes, maybe she should come back to Minnesota and score a meal from the Feeding Our Future people.
Not bad.
Ooh, pretty good.
And also he notes regarding the traveling Lymans and their current stay in Apache Junction, Arizona. Apache Junction sits at the base of Superstition Mountains, home of the legendary Lost Dutchman gold mine. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Ilhan Omar's daughter claims she's basically homeless after Columbia suspension over pro-Palestinian encampment. Isra Hirsi, daughter of Representative Ilhan Omar, claims she's homeless after being suspended from school after the pro-Palestinian encampment at Columbia. Hirsi was seen being detained by police last week for her involvement in the encampment. She announced at Barnard, one of multiple undergraduate schools under Columbia University, suspended her. Barnard told Mediaite that they could not comment on confidential student conduct proceedings, but pointed to a statement noting students were given multiple warnings about the protest. Hirsi spoke with Teen Vogue about her experience and claims she fears homelessness and hunger as she awaits a hearing from the school. Your mother has a couple of domiciles. Isra, I doubt that you really need to be homeless or fear it in any way. Anti-Israeli students set up... that's a different story. The point here's a question I've been thinking about on the Garage Logic service road of life all weekend. How does someone like I know obviously there would be family influence, but how does someone like Isra Hirsi develop? And I don't think I'm out of bounds here. Develop such a hatred for the country at such a young age. What is it about her attitude that has her comfortable with just so casually dismissing the United States and its ways? What is that?
While benefiting from the United States, more so
$90,000 a year school,
benefiting more so than the most of us do.
If you do a little deep dive on the daughter, Isra, she was leading protests, for example, at the Mall of America when she was 12.
In fact, that wasn't that Ilhan's quote after she was, after this came out on Friday's show. Ilhan said that very thing, how proud she was of her daughter's actions, including the Mall of America protest that she organized.
But the daughter... Isra looks at America and sees nothing but a country fraught with what she considers to be just disagreeable existence or disagreeable behavior. How do you get that? How do you arrive at that so quick?
Did you say 90,000 a year?
At Barnard, yeah.
Goodness gracious.
And these were people born, well, not her. She apparently was born in this country, but her mother was born in very difficult circumstances and in complete poverty and war-torn confusion and gets to this country. And ever since her arrival here, she hasn't liked the country.
No. Married her husband's brother,
I don't even go there anymore. Cousin. I don't know what that is.
She's now makes untold millions.
How could you be that ungrateful?
Ungrateful. There's the word, ungrateful.
Wouldn't you get off the plane from Somalia and kiss the tarmac?
What is your life missing
if you're unhappy with her? Omar, I wish you'd come on with me because I'd ask you that. Why are you unhappy?
Who are we mad at?
Who are we mad at?
Who are we mad at today, Omar?
Why are you so unhappy? Why are you so trigger quick to find fault with everything American? I doubt if she attend 4th of July celebrations in her district?
I'm going to go on a limb and say probably not. Yeah.
And here's the daughter. Who, I don't know, what is she, 17, 18 maybe? I have no idea.
She's 21.
Yep. And she has so quickly developed and followed in her mother's footsteps. What they're doing is they're merely using the protections and the comfort and the freedoms of America to launch their scathing hatred of America. There, you couldn't get away with this in other countries. Right. I mean, let's see ISRA go somewhere else and hold the country accountable for all of which makes her uncomfortable. She'd be in a prison. She won't be in a prison here. She'll be homeless and hungry.
But free.
Which is utter nonsense. She's neither homeless nor hungry. But how comfortable she is in just assuming people will buy that BS. You're not homeless, kid. You're not homeless at all.
She was basically like evicted, you know.
She was
kicked out. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. But I was like a little bit frantic. Like, where am I going to sleep?
Well, at one of your mother's many domiciles, I would imagine. Call mom and say, can I use your East Coast place? Or will you just spot me a ticket? I'll fly home, stay in your Minneapolis place.
Spot her a ticket? No, she's going to use the credit card her mom gave her and put herself up in the Four Seasons and live, you know, high on the hog. Oh, it's not hog. I guess hog is a bad word in this case.
Probably not the hog. Probably not the hog.
On the falafel.
Maybe high on the chicken or something.
But most of these kids, you know, we're seeing all the protests at all these different universities. They all want to follow that same path, right? The Ilhan Omar path to riches. That's all that this is.
Well, the 25-year-old white elite and 21-year-old black elite in Ursa's case, they really are really, really fueled by that failed academy. Oh. That failed academy plays into their hands. They play into the failed academy's hands. And you have a tornadic whirlwind of disgust for the country. And look at this. Wait, just stop the presses.
Wait a minute.
I wasn't pressing anything.
It's so bad.
How bad is it?
How bad is it?
City-dwelling dog owners are colonialists. They're marking their colonial territory with dogs who are gentrifying neighborhoods. The dogs are thought to be settler colonial affectations. So apparently, if you live in a big city like New York, you're not supposed to own a dog because the dogs they poop, and apparently that poop is
most of them do anyway
is colonial in nature.
Once again, the lack of education and knowledge of history is absolutely stunning here.
Yep.
Guess what a lot of Native Americans had a whole lot of.
You know, Kenny, I'm going to go out on a limb and say dogs.
We have a winner.
Yes.
Lots of dogs.
Yep.
Woof.
Mia, a New York-born Latina, said that upon reading this, she wondered, are they saying that only white people have dogs? Another woman with an off-leash dog was apparently confronted in Prospect Park by someone filming her with a cell phone camera. She was asking me why I thought I was special, why my dog didn't need to be leashed. Was it because of my white privilege? Hmm. That's dogs. We're down to dogs. We don't even like dogs.
What about kitty cats? I like watching the cat videos.
I don't know if cats are considered settler colonialists. Boy, well, those two buzzwords took off in the failed academy overnight. That was a new wrinkle in the anti-white hatred. Well, it's settler colonialism.
Come on.
Do we hand that out as a manual then to each failed academy, or does it get kind of passed around?
I think I should write the manual.
That should be on the back of our State Fair GL shirts, settlist colonial, settler colonial or something.
We are settler colonialists, but still number one in that island.
We better get out a dictionary before we go any further.
Did we look
farther?
I don't know.
Anguilla, right? It's Anguilla. We're Anguilla. Number one in Anguilla, even though we're settler colonialists.
Yes.
It's like trying to say colloquial.
You have a kid in your house that would have a tough time with that one.
Which kid?
Well, didn't you have She had the speech thing.
Well, she's older now.
Got it.
She doesn't do it anymore.
Everything's okay now.
Right. She got over that.
Thanks, Cousin Eddie.
Alice, are you a settler colonialist? Well, absolutely not.
Oh, that one.
Now she's a big shot at college and the whole deal. Yeah.
Did she do a protest if she was on campus?
You know, she's a pretty sharp kid. It would depend what the protest is.
Gotcha.
You know. Mm-hmm. I don't think she'd go in for protesting dogs as being settler colonial. Dogs slammed as settler colonial. As pooches and owners blamed for gentrifying New York City by woke activists. Good Lord in heaven. And Isra Hirsi, she's homeless and hungry because her $90,000 a year school said, you know, you were part of an encampment cheering on Palestine or the Hamas. And her mother is, well, let's put it this way. The apple didn't fall far from the tree.
There you go.
Now, does she have siblings? That I don't know. Is she an only child, I wonder? I have no idea.
I have no clue.
Because I'm not going to spend time trying to follow the Omar genealogical tree.
The old, what do we call it? The 23andMe? Is that the test?
It got very confusing there.
And, the family tree has been grafted onto itself somehow.
A lot of branches intermingling.
And I'm staying out of that. I don't care. God bless you, Ilhan, but...
Does it look more like an NCAA bracket?
No, over the weekend, Jewish students, this is America, were forbidden from entering a hall at Yale by other Yale students who prohibited them. Is this Germany in 1939?
Pretty damn close.
This is unbelievable. In my lifetime, I'd never thought I'd see something like this. That's how failed the academy is in brainwashing these kids into viewing the world only through the lens of oppressed or oppressor.
Yep.
And they get it wrong half the time. They believe that Jews are oppressors. You know why? Because they're basically white. And they've had success. They have a real country that works.
Yep.
They make stuff, and they have jobs, and they have schools, and they...
You hit on it. Is that what this is? Purely jealousy?
That's part of it.
Do you have the full story? Because what I'm reading, this is the first time hearing of it, and it's very, very disturbing.
Yeah, yeah. Including no kidding. There was a professor also that was prevented from going into his.
One girl was stabbed in the eye
with a pole. Yep.
The American flag was dropped, and the Palestinian flag was thrown up.
Yes. This is the United States of America, which is under serious attack. You're just not seeing tanks roaming across the landscape.
When is that?
You don't need to. You don't need to.
Because we're not
the
putting up a fight.
The failed academy is doing a hell of a job.
And we're not putting up a fight. We don't care.
The only difference so far, and I know I see in the story I'm reading, they're making reference to 1938. And Jews being blocked from Vienna University. The only difference I see so far is that the U.S. government is not backing this.
Right.
They are not allowing it's a tough word, but the extermination of Jews.
Right.
So far.
So far, we're good on that. We're not rounding up Jews.
We got that going for us.
I don't know if you can escape this in Sioux Falls, but it might be among the reasons why you'd look at Sioux Falls as a place to change directions for your business or build a new business there. You'd be leaving a dreadful, dreadful tax climate in Minnesota and settling into the second best tax climate in the nation in South Dakota. So taxes are a reason you might consider moving your business to Sioux Falls. I'll miss you. But you can still listen to us in Sioux Falls. You can increase your profits in Sioux Falls. Streets are safer. The schools are award-winning. Short commutes, vibrant, growing downtown, pro-business attitude, and a motivated workforce. Mm-hmm. You can find all this out at Sioux Falls Development, one word, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. You can escape the high taxes of Minnesota and enjoy a different, more relaxed lifestyle by planning your expansion or relocation to Sioux Falls. Perhaps 2024 is the time to make your move. Check out SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
What are you doing?
I'm eating an apple.
What are you doing, Joe?
Trying to get people concerned here.
Well, I tried getting your attention, the fact that we went 18 minutes long. Jesus.
What's wrong with that? It's a podcast. You can do whatever you want.
No.
Oh, yes.
Let's get her going here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, we have these things called breaks in which deals with ad insertions.
No, I know.
I mean, I can get you in on all the meetings if you'd like.
No.
You're good?
No.
Okay.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
Happy birthday to you.
I'm Morgan Cuey Wolf Slattery, Euphorian. Our mother, the earth, is our common home, precious, perishable, and belonging to all of us. Our mother is threatened now more than ever. Does your community have a vision for its future? Sustainability starts in your community. Today is Earth Day, but it's also Car-Free Day, Equity and Environment Day, Earth Week, Earth Month, Anti-Deforestation Day, Crime Victim Rights Week, Volunteer Week, Reading is Fun Week, Playground Safety Week, Turn Off the TV Week, Bring Your Daughter to Work Day, Harbor Day Week, Kiss Your Mate Week.
Happy birthday to you.
Come on, Euphorians, let's try to concentrate on one thing. Say global warming or cooling. No warming. Yes, cooling. The dangers of heat stroke? No, frostbite. Well, okay. Happy Earth Day.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
It's gonna warm up, and that means the bugs are coming out. Not only is it boat and pontoon season, it's about to be bug season. Time to get those spray bottles and jugs of sea foam. Bugs be gone out of warm storage. While you're at it, by the way, grab another can of Seafoam motor treatment so you can give your daily driver a bump every now and then. Occasional bump does her good. Speaking of filling up, this process with the bugs be gone involves filling up. Here's the scene. Bugs all over the windshield. You can barely see out. You pull into the self-serve pumps. Before you do anything else, spray down the windshield. Then go fire up the pump, start pumping gas, then grab the squeegee thingy. And when you go to clean your windshield, you're going to find that they've likely all melted and slid down to the bottom of the windshield. You'll be cleaning a clean windshield, basically. The bugs be gone, melts the bugs away in a matter of minutes. And you know what? Before you put the cap on the gas tank, give that daily driver a little thank you bump. Make sure she runs properly. You can look for Bugs Be Gone in the auto stores, the convenience stores, gas stations, big box stores, hardware stores, and everywhere fine automotive chemicals are sold. It's just another fine product from the fine folks at Seafoam.
Do you know, speaking of Earth Day.
Earth Day.
Earth Day. Earth Day. Earthy, earthy, Earth Day. You can eat bugs. In fact, we're being encouraged to.
Why?
Well, the UN believes that it's, you know, other countries, people eat bugs. So us evil people in the U.S. should be eating bugs.
Doing our part.
You can eat cicadas, for example. There's a group, a mole sent me this. There's a group in town that has a store called Three Cricketeers.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, the roasted crickets and things of that nature. And I don't want any part of it, but you can eat bugs. You can eat cicadas.
Can I go to Grunhoffer's and get a seasoning for that? I mean, what do you?
Spencer's, we probably find something for you.
What do you put on bugs?
I don't know. I apparently cicadas are nutritional.
No. Huh? You don't put things on the bugs. You put the bugs on things.
Oh,
so it's like putting a little cottage cheese on your salad.
Okay.
Or a Triscuit.
Like, do you want fried onions or raw onions on your burger?
Okay.
I would like raw bugs on my burger.
Sure.
Like
that. Is there a wine pairing or a craft beer that would go?
I think it's mostly reds, although I've heard that the Nouveaus in late fall go really well with cicadas.
Oh, kind of with that meaty palate leaves you with that thickness.
Well, you know what the UN says?
What?
That the world will have to double food supplies by 2050. See, because they're nothing if not hysterical about everything.
Well, before they do that, we should definitely sanction the farmers more and charge them more for fertilizer.
Plus,
and
you know
weed
what,
killer.
You know what else bugs are?
What?
Well, they're climate friendly.
Oh, they don't adjust?
Well, you don't have to do anything. You know, you don't have to
just they're here.
You don't have to get a tractor.
So with the carbon footprint, there it's zero, a ratio of zero to zero.
Yeah, they're zero.
Okay.
And apparently Chad and Claire Simmons, who they have a business called Three Cricketeers. I think they're in Burnsville. And they extol the culinary joys of eating, St. Louis Park, eating insects grown in their St. Louis Park warehouse.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. They compare it to sushi. Because, years ago, sushi was very rare, and now you can get it at the gas station, they say.
Yeah.
It's becoming so
popular.
Well,
it's my favorite spot.
Joe, I could also eat dog crap, too, but I opt not to eat dog crap.
You can use ground cricket powder as a flour.
Oh, for baking purposes. Sure.
Bakers can add it to goods like cookies, brownies, or muffins, a little cricket powder in there. And now you have somebody here named Sujaya Rao, who heads the University of Minnesota's entomology department, is optimistic that it's possible to change attitudes towards insects from being yucky, taboo food, to being a healthy, eco-friendly food of the future.
Yucky.
When Rao holds taste tests at the state fair with cricket chips or cricket powder brownies, most subjects say they'd be willing to try another bug-based food. Now, you can get cricket powder for $49.99 a pound. Boy, that's pretty expensive.
Joe, have you noticed our resident food authority is mostly mom? Yeah.
No, I'm waiting for my line. I've heard about this, and I heard that cricket balls are a delicacy.
How big can they be?
How big could they be? What do you pair them with? Yeah. The other one.
That's all you're giving me? That's old, tired, washed-up joke.
Now, you are our food guy.
Come on. Yes.
Would you eat some cricket snacks, some fried crickets.
Sure, I you know
you
what?
Would
for
try
this,
it
for the sake of the game. I would. It'd have to be
probably can't kill you.
No, you know, I'm always about texture. That's why I don't like fish. I don't like the texture of fish and seafood.
That's because you probably haven't had good fish.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Tough to beat salmon, bro.
Salmon walleye, can be very firm.
A good baked walleye, I will eat.
Yeah.
Because if I go to a Christmas party and some of it's walleye, it's pretty good.
I have a question. If one were to
but bugs.
Include the steady diet of bugs, that would make the chore of handling the box a little bit more efficient.
How do you handle the box of bugs?
I'm guessing...
Like dead flies?
I just ate some crickets.
Stock up on air freshener, too, while you're at it. I'm wondering what how that's going to... wait a second, Joe, before you go any further. Does that company, do they have a booth at the state fair? Can we put Matthew to the test in August?
Well, if they were at the state fair...
Well, if they don't, this entomology professor at the U apparently does.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And yeah. I wish I had staff to work on the fair, because it's something you should be working on already.
A lot of
and that would be someone to get to bring over some crickets.
I'll make a list.
Yeah, a list is going to be worth exactly the papers written on.
What state fair food would go good with crickets?
It's a state fair food on its own. You don't pair it.
I think the question to ask is, what hard alcohol would you have to drink copious amounts of before you tried the insects?
In my case, quite a bit.
I'm not
drinking that or eating that.
In my case, I'd have to stop by...
Cricket guy.
I'd have to stop by Monty's Lizard Lounge prior to eating some crickets, I think.
Or Andy's Grill.
Well, take your pick.
All of Monty's cheaper.
Up at O'Gara's, yeah.
Okay. Well, you're all just yuck, having a little sophomoric laugh.
Because you got to have something to choke down those bugs with.
But here's the deal. That this is even a proposal is another example of people fight. Not these people locally who are raising cricket powder. That's fine. But the UN saying should be eating insects is another example of the of how they hold the U.S. in disregard. I want them out of my country. I want to be president. And the first thing I do, the UN's out of here. Let them set up in Angola or whatever.
Right. Anguilla.
Hey, aren't we number one there?
Or Anguilla. We're number one in Anguilla.
See?
Mayor, last week I had the chance to hear you talk about the MPR incident where an MPR editor, Uri Berliner, took on MPR leadership regarding their one-sided liberal views and loss of broader reporting. This eventually led to a 5-day suspension and his resignation from NPR. You also share with listeners information regarding the new CEO, Catherine Maher, and some of her recent noteworthy positions and communications. You did an excellent job bringing this forward. In the event Maher would seek another job change, I found this posting on the State of Minnesota job search website. I'm confident you will concur she is the perfect candidate. This posting is written in modern-day liberalese, meaning that on the surface, the position looks essential, but when you try to figure out what the person is going to do, it's a Garage Logic head-scratcher. Keep up the good work. If you use this, please use my local Pequot Lakes nickname, Rajman.
Rajman?
Rajman.
What's up, Rajman?
The Raj.
From Pequot Lakes.
Mm.
Well, here's the job posting. Job ID 75877, Strategic Excellence Manager. The Office of Inclusion is highly focused on implementing strategies that influence an equitable and inclusive internal workforce culture and employee experience from recruitment through retention. The position will help to expand the office's capacity to advance equity and inclusion within the many state agencies, councils, and boards throughout the enterprise. This role will work closely with Office of Inclusion leadership, agency leaders and staff, and governor's office staff to continue to prioritize the long-range plan and the office's strategic priorities. The strategic excellence manager will also plan and facilitate the One Minnesota Council meetings on behalf of the Office of Inclusion. Now, what I would like to do is have a governor who would tell his people, bring me every job description in the state of Minnesota that the taxpayers are paying for. Yeah. And I'd have a great big red magic marker.
Like Governor Ventura's piggy marker that he had with the pork?
Yeah, or I would see this. The red line would go right through this.
Boom.
I'd save the taxpayers. God knows how much money we spend on this BS.
Way too much.
Millions and millions and millions of dollars. Because the strategic excellent manager will probably have to have some factotums around to help be the strategic excellence manager. Right. All of it's undefinable. There's no way to maybe that's another way I'd do it. I'd put a red line through all the job descriptions that are unable to be measured for accomplishment. There we don't save some money.
What's the end goal? What do we achieve if you do this? Yeah, right. Accountability.
There's no way to measure this for achievement.
Do we have line item veto in this state?
That's a good question. John, do we have line item veto in this state?
And number two,
but this wouldn't get to a veto situation.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Well, it's not a bill proposed for the legislature. This is just one of probably 1,000 internal job memos for the state government.
Okay. Because if it does make it in, you'll just be overruled. You realize that. You have no power as a governor, Republican or otherwise.
No, on this I would. As a governor, I'd say, no, this has to go. We're not paying for this anymore.
Well,
it's meaningless.
The obvious answer and solution here is something we've all been thinking for many years. Run for office.
I'm too old.
Come on.
You want another old guy joining Biden and Trump?
You're always quick with the excuse, aren't you?
Way younger than the presidential candidate.
I would hazard to bet that prepping for a random Garage Logic show is more strenuous than what that fat pig is doing every day in office down in St. Paul.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. You never stop show prepping. Your daily life, 24 hours a day, is doing show prep.
Yes.
Happy Earth Day, Minnesota. In Minnesota, we've struck a blow against climate change by putting our state on a pathway to 100% clean energy by the year 2040. We strengthen our biofuels infrastructure, and we've invested hundreds of millions of dollars to bring competitive, high-paying jobs to Minnesota and expand our economy with an eye towards the green energy jobs of the future. I ran for governor with a promise to take bold, decisive action to combat climate change. Together, we're positioning our state as a national leader in climate solutions and keeping Minnesota a great place to live, work, and raise a family for future generations to come.
Hold on. I have something, too. Twitter, October 27th, 2022. Minnesota cannot become a test lab for extreme agendas. Peggy Flanagan and I will not let that happen. Help us fight back against extremism, uphold Minnesota values, and move our state forward.
Every climate change initiative, particularly as it would be put forward by that very disappointing fellow, is all it is the advancement of socialism. It has nothing to do with the climate. And when you think of the vanity and insanity involved in the very phrase, let's change the climate, you need help in a mental health institution. You are not going to change the climate, nor am I.
Headline, Breitbart, today, Earth Day. Americans are far more worried about Bidenflation than climate change. And they go on to explain that.
I can think of many things I'm more worried about.
Let's list them.
Well, the decline of moral and ethical integrity.
One.
The price of groceries and gasoline.
Two.
the behavior of students in schools.
Three.
I mean, I could just go on for the next hour. Right. I mean, it's just the kids being ground out by the failed academy at the higher learning level. The prevalence of fentanyl in this country. The untamed border of this country. You want me to continue? I mean, we can just...
I actually want you to do an ad.
I've got some numbers for you, too.
Yeah.
According to this Breitbart piece, the most pressing concern, 55%, is inflation.
Yep.
53% crime and violence, hunger and homelessness, economy, health care, federal spending, and the budget, all above 50%. 48% say they worry a great deal about illegal immigration. The environment rates down near unemployment at 33%.
But I'm shocked that it's that high. Change the climate.
You're just not working.
You just go make me a snowflake.
Why don't you just shut up and go eat your bugs?
Yeah. What are you having today?
I want you to take $100 off any single car garage door and $200 off any double car garage. I'm spending Precision Garage Doors money for you.
Okay. I got you.
Right? They've got a new on-site consultation and estimates, which is important because you're not hauling the garage to them.
I'm not.
They're coming out to you, and you can schedule a free on-site new door estimate with one of their garage door designers. There's models for every budget. And remember, a new garage door is just more than a door. It's going to increase your home value. It's going to give you better design and visual appeal. It improves security and energy. Because you know why? A new door is going to be sturdy. Not like that flimsy fiberglass piece of junk you got on there right now. Get a new door that has integration with home security. And as long as you're going to be getting a hold of Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in western Wisconsin, remember, they don't charge more for weekend calls. They fix everything with a garage door, the rollers, the springs, the integration of your app or your phone, the car with the opener. I don't know how to do that. They'll do that.
That's why they're the guys.
They'll fix that stuff up. They'll do everything. And they usually have everything they need in the truck. They don't give you that song and dance about running back to the shop. Huh? Call Precision Door at 612-263-6985 to schedule your free on-site new door estimate or to book an appointment to get your garage door fixed. And mention that new GL special of $100 off a single car and $200 off any double door. PrecisionDoorMN.com.
Patrick Ricey here with the Canopy Group Facts. Fact one, the Canopy Group writes more new business in 1 month than an agent who represents one company writes in 3 years. How is this possible? We'll give you the other facts to understand why. Fact two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not 6 month policies that leave you at risk for two premium increases annually. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers one deductible at claim time, not two, three, four, or even more. Fact five, the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies each and every year. Captive insurance agencies can't shop for you because they only have one company. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get your options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
While it's always Earth Day in Euphoria, April is a special time for everyone to remember our Mother the Earth. I'm Morgan Cuey Wolf Slattery with some important reminders. A healthy planet starts with a healthy home. Size does matter. Bigger homes use more resources and energy and infuriate Euphorians. Don't use lumber from old-growth trees. Lumber larger than 2x8 with no knots is most likely old-growth, so knotty lumber is always better. Skip the car. Walking, biking, or scootering are fun and functional, but don't count on the bus. When you do drive, buy alternative fuel vehicles. Accelerate very gradually and avoid unnecessary idling. Rude hand gestures to the SUV driving person next to you are not suggested due to SUV driver's history of road rage. Finally, say goodbye to your lawn. We all know the endless damage caused by lawnmowers. A natural habitat will attract butterflies, birds, and frogs who have been chased away or maimed by mowing. And remember, if you don't do these things willingly, we'll find a way to make you, through government, stop fertilizing your lawn, stop cutting trees in your yard, and whatever else we decide is in the best interest of our mother. Yes, a green life is a good life, enhancing our well-being and honoring the natural abundance and beauty that surrounds us.
The Earth is not your mother. Wow. The Joe Soucheray Show.
She was ahead of her time, wasn't she?
Very much so.
Hell yeah.
All of those outrageous things she mentions have come
true.
They're
here.
Matthew, I need to talk to you for a second here. If you had a lake in your backyard, it would be your front yard.
Is that a declarative statement?
That is. But I'm wondering, it's my way of getting to...
What's declarative?
Declarative.
Yes.
I knew what you meant, Matthew.
Thank you, bud.
And I know you didn't want to put a stick into the spokes of this endorsement ad.
Tough
so you kept
your mouth. Fans that are
right. Like everybody else did.
Right. What's your backyard look like, Matthew? I'm picturing cattails and spots that never dry out and maybe a willow that's hanging
that's dead grass. That's fairly accurate.
That's what I thought. That's why you need now. I know you already use professionalturf.com to keep the grass green.
Yes.
I want you to call them and have their landscape people come out. And I don't want you to give them any big, bright ideas. I want you to say, prepare for me the backyard of my dreams. And they'll show it to you with their computers and their voodoo and their magic. They'll show you what it's going to look like before they even put a shovel in the ground. And I guarantee you, Matthew, you will be happy.
I want an oasis. ProTurf can do that for me.
That's what they'll do. The landscaping division, they're going to work with you and design your dream. They specialize in virtually everything. ProTurf works magic. The best lawn in the neighborhood and amazing outdoor environments. You can see it all at ProfessionalTurf.com.
I have a question about Professional Turf. What percentage of their business is the landscaping end of it?
I would imagine quite a bit. They have three divisions, and all three are hopping.
All right.
So they got
the landscaper.
I call them the hose draggers, but those are the guys that give you a lush, luxurious green lawn.
I can attest to that.
The landscapers can work absolute magic, and if you have an irrigation system, they're going to wake that thing up for you in the spring. They're going to service it for you, and they'll put it to bed for you in the fall. If you have landscape needs, Joe Soucheray, you should go to ProfessionalTurf.com.
Here is John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This update brought to you by North American Banking Company. A couple of things before we get rolling here. Yes, indeed, the Minnesota governor does have line item veto on the budget, Joe.
That's just the budget, but the budget, of course, would include money to pay all of these non-achieving job titles.
Correct.
I'd have to veto it.
That was upheld by the Supreme Court
recently,
the last 10 years. So they do have that. And then some breaking news we should talk about. I know it's a podcast. We don't have breaking news. But police in Woodbury say SWAT personnel were dispatched this morning to the Target store. And the Target store for a while was put on lockdown. That store is located off Valley Creek exit on Interstate 494. All the details still very vague. But a customer inside reported the lockdown ended around 11 and said the woman's that was the woman's daughter who said that, the customer. While police have so far declined to say anything more about the situation, one customer inside shared some details with the phone, and apparently they were concerned about a man who was inside the store with a gun. But I don't believe there's been any shooting from the reports we've gotten.
That's a good thing.
And this was in the Target?
In the Target in Woodbury, yes.
Okay, which is not a Target superstore, and that's just off of Queens Drive in Valley Creek. I used to live right by there years ago.
Is that, why am I shocked that you
is
know that?
Is it a regular size Target?
It's a large Target, but it's not a super Target. There's another Target in Woodbury not far away that has the grocery line, etc.
So, John, maybe I'm jumping to conclusions here.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't brandishing or showing or even handling the firearm?
We don't know. The reports were there was a man with a gun. And the same customer who was texting friends said apparently it looks like the situation was resolved without any issues.
He was so telling people they ought to beware.
Because there's a man with
a gun over there. They ought to beware.
Because it's just like Minnesotans to see somebody, maybe somebody has a permit to carry and his shirt kind of came up and they saw, you know, just a part of it and they immediately call 911.
I do have a family member, as you guys know, that works in retail, says every once in a while, because, you know, a gun owner can, they'll walk in with it in a holster or whatever.
Right.
Just because.
It annoys the
hell out of the store employees, obviously.
That, and as a permit holder, that annoys the hell out of me.
That's taunting.
Well, do it in Texas where they're used to that thing. Minnesotans aren't ready for that. They're just not ready for that.
Not to make light of the story in Woodbury, but the mayor has always taught me now for years to be more curious. And so I do want to do that right now. Rookie, the mayor, his eyes peaked up when you were trying to explain the difference between a Target and a super Target. Yeah. So could you please go into more detail with that?
Yeah.
The super Target will carry perishables. Meat products, dairy products that will and do expire. They'll also have a nice bakery. And a regular Target, they might go as so far as to have some Gatorade and some chips, but they will not sell you fresh produce.
What about
fresh meat?
Which one of them can I get my eyes examined at and get a new pair of glasses?
That would be the regular Target, which is now CVS Pharmacy, located in each Target, as you are a guest in their store. You're not a customer, you're a guest.
Yeah, okay, since you brought it up, why will my insurance pay for 90 days of pills if I go to a CVS, but only 30 days of pills if I go to a Walgreens? Can you answer that, please?
That is a corporate conspiracy. Each pharmacy has made their own deals with some of the drug companies, so your Walgreens may not have done the same deal that the CVS executives have. Okay. That's why you're paying one-third of the price there.
Thank you. No further questions.
Is the Target on University and Hamlin a super Target?
It is indeed. It is the one that I avoid at all costs due to the dangerousness.
Oh.
Dangerousness.
let's move along here to other news, shall we?
God, I missed you last week, Matthew.
Thank you, bud. I appreciate it. I like your tone today.
Well, he slept through his vacation.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
A very important part of it, yes.
Governor Walz has appointed two women to the state Supreme Court today, returning the court to a female majority for the first time since 1994. Court of Appeals Judge Theodora Gaddis and Stearns County Chief Judge Sarah Hennessy will fill the seats held by retiring Justices Margaret Chudich and G. Barry Anderson. Both judges have extensive experience in aiding lower-income citizens with criminal, appellate, and civil matters. Walz conducted interviews with six finalists last week. All were notified of his choices on Sunday. This selection now means that Walz has appointed four of the seven justices on the court. When Anderson steps down next month, all seven justices will have been appointed by a DFL governor.
Okay, we have to back up. Evidently, the situation in Woodbury did not end peacefully.
Oh, really?
Okay. And I'm seeing secondhand information here, but Chris, is Chris listening?
Yep.
Do a little research on some of those crime Twitter accounts that I've blocked.
All right.
You might find the answer there.
We'll do that right now, sir.
Okay.
And remember, this is breaking news, so it could change in 24 hours.
Especially on a podcast.
Yeah.
That a guy might listen to next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is according to Woodbury MN Police through the Crime Watch Twitter account. Law enforcement has resolved the situation in Valley Creek Plaza, but will remain visible in the area. Residents no longer need to shelter in place. Updates will be provided as available. They were responding. This is from the Minnesota BCA, responding to a use of force incident in Woodbury. The suspect has been shot and was transported to the hospital.
Mm. I think we can drop that now.
Okay. Yep. The man police were looking for in Minnetonka a couple of weeks ago when they tried to serve a warrant has now been arrested. 34-year-old Joshua Ramos was arrested last week and is in the Hennepin County Jail. He was wanted for violating a no-contact order. Deputies were serving the arrest warrant on April 10th near the intersection of East Crestwood Drive and Mayview Terrace. Deputies knocked on the door and announced themselves when 28-year-old Clint Hoyta shot at them. Chris Hyde, a nature veteran with the sheriff's office, was shot and brought to the hospital. He was released the next day. 23-year veteran Keith McNamara was hit by shrapnel and treated at the scene. Deputies returned fire. Hoyta died at the scene of multiple gunshot injuries. Ramos, for his part, is scheduled to appear in court today. In recent months, the price of buying fentanyl on the street in the Twin Cities Metro fell to $1 to $2 a pill, according to a longtime narcotics investigator for the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. That's down from about $20 a couple of years ago. And according to Hennepin County Sheriff's Major Rick Pelea, he said the cost outside the metro still is around $20 a pill, but only a buck or two here in the Twin Cities. Often a single pill is more than one dose, meaning a dollar purchase could end up in multiple overdoses. Major Pelea says it's a dangerously cheap price and it's exacerbating what's already been a crisis. He said, although it's tough to quantify such an impact, fentanyl is a narcotic that was first created and remains in legal distribution as an intravenous anesthetic used to treat severe pain during or after surgery. In recent years, it's become increasingly popular on the black market, often manufactured at the street level. The approval of a new hotel in the neighborhood around Allianz Field has business owners excited about the opportunities it could bring. David Tolchiner owns the Midway Saloon and three other buildings in St. Paul's Midway neighborhood directly across the street from Allianz Field, home to the Minnesota United FC. The St. Paul City Council approved a new 8-story, 160-unit hotel earlier in April, and business owners like Tolchiner says it's been 5 years in the making and well worth the wait. St. Paul City Council member Nelsie Yang expressed enthusiasm after the unanimous vote to approve the new hotel was made. Cleanup of the site for the new hotel could start this spring.
Who will stay there?
I don't know. Because
are we short hotel rooms in the Twin Cities?
Well, Allianz certainly hasn't revamped that area. They built a couple of apartment buildings across the street, and that's basically it.
Well, I'm not trying to get... But aren't we using some hotels like other big cities are?
Well, we're not going to build a new hotel for the homeless.
No, but there's going to be a need for it.
Apparently.
If other rooms are occupied.
So are you saying across university, in the university in Snelling area, right?
That's where the McDonald's would be.
Yeah.
Well, there's Midway Books. There's
no, it'll be on the south side of University Avenue and east of Snelling.
So across over the that street corner. From Midway.
Mm-hmm.
So across from Turf Club.
Turf Club's a little further down.
No, Turf Club is west of this intersection. Kenny, this is
east.
Snelling and University, and all of this development is taking place east of Snelling and south of University.
Yeah.
Yeah, between 94 and University.
Yeah. And while we're in the neighborhood, doesn't your cousin play at a bar there from time to time,
Joe? The Midway.
Yeah. Midway. Yeah. Midway.
That's where they should build that hockey arena.
Huh? I don't know where they're going to build that.
It's a callback to last week.
And an exit sign on 35E, misspelled by MnDOT.
Why is this a story? My God.
Well, it's fun. These are fun, Kenny.
How do they spell it?
Aid Mill Road, it's spelled ADY.
It's Aid Mill, but anyway.
Well, Aid Mill.
So
it's spelled Addy Mill Road. The sign will get the correct spelling. MnDOT says they know all about it. They're working to correct it. They say they have no timeline when the sign will be corrected.
But you'll be there with the breaking news when it happens.
That's right. I'll let you know. Yeah. We're going to take a short break here. When we get back, I'm going to tell you all the folks that were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, boy. We love that.
Can't wait for this fight.
announced it over the weekend, and we'll tell you all about it. But first, let's hear from our friend Chris Reavers.
HoffermanWater.com is the website. Man, oh man, do I love my water system from Hofferman Water and Kinetico. You will too. Trust me when I say that. And it doesn't matter whether you're in the market for a brand new water softener or maybe an iron, rust, and odor filtration system or a brand new drinking water system, Joe. I get excited when I talk about Hofferman Water
and Kinetico. You can't do it in one breath. You really should breathe a little bit while you're doing the bit.
You want a bet? Ready? Yeah. HoffermanWater.com, 612-895-2440. I'm kidding. 612-895-2440. That's the phone number to get in touch with Hofferman Water and get on the schedule to have them come out for that free water analysis. They've been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years. And when you get in touch with them, you slow down. Everything slows down when you get brand new water because you're calming. It's hydration at its best. That's right. Get that new system. Your coffee is better, your showers, your laundry, and your drinking water. 612-895-2440. As I mentioned, Hofferman Water has been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years. Mention that you slowed down to hear this ad in slow motion on the Garage Logic podcast. Earth Day.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Souchere Show.
I just looked ahead on the forecast. It does not look likely that this Friday will be the official garage door opener, but when it occurs, Precision Garage Door will be right there with us. Make sure your garage door is in top working condition with Precision Garage Door. Book online at precisiondoormn.com or call 612-263-6985. John.
Thank you, Joe. Let's go right to. I know there's a lot of important national and international news.
Oh, the hell with that.
We're going to go right to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees for 2024. Now, these are the inductees. These people have been voted into the Rock and Roll Hall.
All right.
These are the winners, if you will. Of
all
this
right.
Year's
Here we go.
Election. You ready?
Yep.
The performer categories, and we'll go in alphabetical order here. Ready? Mary J. Blige, number one.
Not for me. Not enough work.
She's fantastic.
Not enough work.
What do I know?
About 1,000 albums by her. Come on, Joe.
How many hits, John? How many hits? That's the question. Does she have more hits than the band America?
She is.
I haven't paid attention to radio in 25 years, Kenny, so I have no idea.
That's why I asked, because I haven't either. I don't know.
She's not the smartest cookie in the
I'm not acknowledging her entrance into the Hall of Fame. I'm a no vote.
Family Affair is a great song.
Noted. Okay. Family Affair, is that a remake of the Sly song?
I think so, yeah.
Can we keep going with it here? Can we keep going with it?
Yes, I'm sorry, Joe. Yeah. Let me move right along here. Cher is voted in as an inductee. As she pointed out, she's had number one hits 7 decades in a row. Not too many people have done that.
There is a clip.
I'm okay with that.
Sonny and Cher in a 1965 surf movie in black and white, singing something about a rainy day.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really cool.
When I get to the city,
I knew you were going to sing it.
Can we keep it moving, John?
Really?
Don't be distracted by these morons, John.
Please,
the Dave Matthews Band.
Absolutely zero on my list.
Proof there is no
government
Jesus.
Music.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Catholics and Protestants.
Boo!
This is proof.
Boo!
Crash into me.
They dropped their poop into the Chicago River.
Or maybe it's not proof. Of no God, it's proof that Satan does in fact exist.
Oh God, are they dreadful?
Can you? I don't mind it, but they ain't Rock and Roll Hall of Fame worthy.
No.
Next, Foreigner.
No way.
I don't have a huge problem with Foreigner. I wouldn't vote for him, but I don't have a huge problem.
But John, what about BTO, Boston, Joe Cocker, Foghat? Any of those bands?
You're not naming any of the good ones that have been so far as
wow.
I'm concerned. You got Little Feet. You got Warren Zevon.
Yeah.
You got Lost
Globos. Yep.
You got
Let's just do today who got in.
Yeah, the Lost Globos.
Lost.
Huh? No. God.
Keep going faster.
Next.
Slow it down.
Peter Frampton.
Oh, yeah.
One hit wonder.
One hit wonder. You do realize he was the lead guitarist for a very fine rock and roll band for about 3 years, right?
You realize.
You aren't.
Which band?
That one hit was in the heavy rotation for 20 years, Joe. He was a big deal. Every kid in the 70s has Frampton Comes Alive.
All right.
Yeah, I can see the album. And he did
that. Did I just win one?
Peer pressure.
He did the cool mic thing.
It's called the talk box, or it's not a mic, but that's okay.
Mama never sleeps at night.
No, that's Squeeze Box.
That's a different song.
Cool in the Gang.
Yes.
Cool in the Gang. I'm fine with Cool in the Gang.
I'm fine with that.
That's cool. Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne as a solo artist. I'm
not fine with that at all.
Julie, I want to apologize to you personally. He has no idea what he's talking about. Ozzy should be sitting at the front of the room facing the rest of the audience up on his royal chair because he is
Ozzy
the
should
king
be in a tomb.
Of rock and roll. How do you not love Ozzy?
Easily.
Jeez.
Were you a Black Sabbath guy, Joe?
No.
Well, see, there's the problem.
It's just nonsense. It was just horrible.
Okay, it's like talking to my dad in 1980.
It really is.
It's thanks, just Pops.
Pathetic.
Okay.
Just pathetic.
Oh, you know, Kiss stands for Kings and Satan's Service. You know that, don't you? Okay, Pops. All right. All right. Let's listen to some more Neil Diamond, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O. A Tribe Called Quest.
Yes.
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah.
Those are the inductees for Performer Category Musical Influence Award. We'll just name all three of these. Alexis Corner, John Mayall, and Big Mama Thornton.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm fine with all those.
Okay.
Yeah. One Thin Dime.
If John's fine, I'm fine.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Big Mama's awesome.
Hound Dog. She did the original version of Hound Dog.
Yeah.
Who was the black chick who played guitar and was a pioneer in rock?
Sister Rosetta,
yeah.
Yep.
Musical Excellence Award, and I'm not sure what this means. I think it's just kind of if you haven't gotten voted in before, they just go, throw them a bone. I think that's the way this one works.
But it's like a lifetime achievement.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Lifetime achievement. Right. MC5, Jimmy Buffett. Dionne Warwick and Norman Whitfield, who I can't believe isn't in already. He's a guy from Motown who wrote everything, including Papa Was a Rolling Stone that you were singing earlier, Kenny.
Yep.
But he wrote tons of stuff for that.
He should be in on his own.
Yeah. That left seven nominees from this year who will have to wait another year. They didn't get in. Those seven who were not voted in are Mariah Carey, Jane's Addiction, Sade, Sinead O'Connor, Oasis, Lenny Kravitz, and the duo Eric B. and Rakim.
But, I mean, add them all up. Do any of them have the amount of hits that America had? Just for example.
Are you on an America kick?
Really,
name the number of hits they had and then tell me why they're not in.
They had a lot of hits. They also had four great albums, two of them produced by George Martin that were wonderful.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Doesn't make any sense.
I would be okay with America going in.
Oh, I would be more than okay. Yeah. I'd vote for him in a minute.
Yeah. I think Sade should be in. Sade should be in. She had some good tunes out there.
Yeah,
one good tune.
No. Smooth Operator. Can't think of anything out there.
Yeah, right, you know.
Exactly.
The great one. Her best
and that
song
other one.
Song.
Yeah.
Her best. I'm going to slap you, Olson. Her best song was The Sweetest Taboo. What a great song.
Oh, that is a good one.
Is that it for you, John, or do you have more? Or?
Well, I have tons of news. I can read you anything you want here.
Well, you should wrap it up with a concluding story.
Trim it up, baby. Okay.
Does that mean you want a kicker or a real story, Joe?
I think it better go real. Try to save some aspect.
What about the DL story, the Detroit Lake story?
Let's you know, I want to make you guys feel a little better. This Columbia story is annoying as hell.
Yeah.
We all agree on that. So let's go instead to Yale, where this morning they started arresting all the students who were staging an anti-Israeli protest.
Right.
Footage posted online showed cops arriving at Yale and blocking off entrances to a plaza at the New Haven campus, where about 200 protesters had been gathered. Cops started warning protesters they risked being arrested if they didn't clear out. Some did not clear out, so the Yale Daily News said they were arrested.
In fact, they were zip-tied and then put on buses. I saw some of that video earlier
it's about
today.
Time.
And I was, like, evicted. And it's like, I don't know what I'm going to, like, how am I, like, going to get to the, like, Four Seasons, man?
Isra said she was zip-tied.
Yeah. Seven hours.
She's now homeless and very hungry.
Boomer.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said they told her to come get her bleep out of the campus area.
Yeah, she's a great kid.
Said, I got a lot of bleep. I don't know where to put it. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much, and we'll be returning shortly.
Are you wrapping it up here, Joe?
Getting there, Kenny. Yeah.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Chris Yasger sent me a really interesting note. One of two interesting notes I'm going to read.
Is he Max's son, huh?
I picked this very old and unique mailbox up. It's from the Minneapolis Journal. I got it from a customer in northern Minnesota a few years back. I now use it as garage art. It's a mailbox that has Minneapolis Journal written on it. One of those round things you'd have at the end of this driveway. Oh, it's a beautiful piece of garage
art. A tube.
Yeah. From what I can find, the Minneapolis Journal began publishing in 1878. In 1939, the journal was purchased by the Cowles family and merged with the Minneapolis Star to form the Minneapolis Star Journal. In 1947, the journal was dropped and the title became the Minneapolis Star. In 1982, the Evening Star merged with the Morning Minneapolis Tribune to form the Minneapolis Star Tribune, which became the Star Tribune in 1987. And he sent me a picture of it. It was just wonderful.
Nice.
And that's not the only picture I've received.
What else did you get?
This is from Greg Terpstra. Mayor, I've got really good news. I'm a husband, I'm a dad to three daughters, I'm a teacher, and I'm a coach, in that order. I've attached a picture of my new favorite shirt. I wore it yesterday at a 7-hour track meet that was held in the true belly of the beast, Seattle, Washington. There was another school there who has a dude on their team running against girls. Most of his team was there, but he actually ditched that meet for a more prestigious one down the road. That would be the one at which kids compete to impress college and eventually get a scholarship. Back at our meet, all I received was high fives and butt slaps. A coach asked if I carried mine around in a wheelbarrow, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This isn't surprising. I wore this sheet a week prior when I flew across the country to visit colleges with my high school daughter. Through SeaTac, Philly, Charlotte, and Charleston, I was approached by 15 different individuals. Want to know how many were positive? All 15, and most were women who asked why our men aren't doing more of this. Again, it's great news. We are out there, Joe. We're quiet, but all it takes is a few to light the match. I hope every dad of a daughter buys this shirt and wears it proudly. Hail you, Greg, from the state of Washington. Hmm. I will hold up the picture for you and the viewers.
Save girls' sports. Amen. I can only imagine.
I'd wear this shirt.
You'd get slapped on the back. You'd
I'd
get
wear this shirt. Yep. It says "Save Girls." Then it has the winged foot, and underneath that is "Sports." Save Girls Sports. I'd wear that. Where? How do I get it on the camera?
You hold it up here.
Just like that.
Hold it still.
It's good. Yeah.
Save Girls Sports.
It's upside down.
Oh, it isn't.
What?
I would wear this shirt.
Yep.
Just as I'm going to wear. We're number one in Aguilla. So now we shouldn't have to make these for a GL shirt, but we need one of the. How does he? Hey, Greg, are these available someplace, or do I have to have my own made? I'm bending down and talking to the microphone like he's across the desk.
Right, you're looking at it right down.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, bud, what's up?
I was bending down and talking to the guy.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be okay. I'd wear the shirt, Greg. I'd wear the shirt.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now, the one you just held up.
Are they on Amazon?
No, they're on something called Sunny Oso. I don't know what that is.
Well, but, I'm in. Put me down. I'm in.
There's many variations of the shirt, too, but the one you just held up is on that.
How many more years before the WNBA drafts one?
That's a great, great question. It won't be the WNBA, but the NCAA is the outlier in this. Everyone else is opposed to transgender males playing on women's teams. The Olympics is opposed, the AAU, so far the pros. It's only the failed academy, you'll note, that's on board with this.
Yeah,
only the failed academy.
Because
it fits their DEI BS.
And for all the athletes out there in the world that have studied their craft, worked on their craft, don't want these bearded, breasted people to take over the...
Not to be that guy, but I also believe that this does exist in the world of fighting. Because I've seen some videos circulating where men are competing against women and say, like, Ultimate Fighting and things like that.
I don't care. That's fighting.
No, I'm just saying, just because I know you'll get an email or two from that.
No, you do care. That's a man beating the S out of a woman.
And it's really
bad.
Yeah, I do care.
I care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Say, I have information about Renewal by Anderson and their Acclaim replacement windows. They're a J.D. Power Award winner. That means the highest customer satisfaction among window and patio door manufacturers 4 weeks. Not 4 weeks, Joe.
What do you got?
4 years in a row.
Okay.
And the most 5-star reviews in the greater metro among leading full-service window replacement companies. And you can go to their website, renewalbyanderson.com, and all of that is verified. They're the best, and they can prove it. So if you're in the market for windows, check out Renewal's Acclaim replacement windows, and not just windows, patio doors, entry doors. Anderson's engineering is the best. Their innovation is the best. They're in a lot of Minnesota homes. These windows, patio doors, and entry doors are made right here in Minnesota. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/garagelogic or call Renewal by Anderson at 651-705-6931. And Renewal by Anderson brings you Only Because.
Let's go, Because.
Only Because they come to us all the way from Apache Junction, right there at the base of Superstition Mountain, home of the Lost Dutchman Gold Mine, from the Traveling Lymans. On this,
what time is it?
Tom Lyman notes, you asked us to respond if we ever visited Anguilla. No, we haven't. But we visited most of the other Caribbean islands except Cuba and Anguilla. This is due to most cruise lines don't make a port of call to Anguilla Island and the U.S. government restrictions for U.S. citizens to visit Cuba. But, of course, Tom Lyman is terribly familiar with Anguilla, where we're number one.
Right? Wouldn't it have been great if you'd have said, oh, sure, and we're the only one on the island that ever listens to podcasts. Yeah. Meaning that's why
we're number one.
I know.
We're number one.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Tom. And only because they come to us all the way from Apache Junction on this day.
Earth Day, April 22nd.
In 1818, Cadwallader C. Washburn. Washburn.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little trouble with that. It almost came out Washburn.
I did with the declarative as well.
Yeah. Cadwallader C. Washburn was born in Livermore, Maine. A pioneer in the state's flour milling industry, Washburn built his first mill at St. Anthony Falls in 1866, and his Washburn Crosby Company, WCCO, marketed gold medal flour. He died in 1882. On this day,
422.
Did he leave a family fortune, or how can we never know much about him?
Who?
The Washburn guy.
Cadwallader.
Well, you don't really hear of the Washburns, do you?
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Cargill's, they're all
over. We got a high school on the south side.
Right.
He's got an avenue. What else do you need?
He must have been. Maybe there weren't a lot of descendants.
Quit your bloviating.
Why don't you look that up,
Rook?
I am right
it.
Now.
On this day,
422.
In 1903, Alexander Ramsay died at the age of 88. He, of course, was Minnesota's first territorial governor, second state governor, negotiated major land sales from the Dakota and Ojibwe, and served in the U.S. Senate and as Secretary of War. He was a founder of the Minnesota Historical Society, and he was its president at the time of his death.
Was he a big believer in climate change?
I don't think
as
so.
As governor? No.
And finally, on this day,
April 22nd,
in 1911, Governor Adolph O. Eberhardt, I looked him up, signed a bill abolishing the death penalty in Minnesota.
Huh.
He was born in Sweden. And I don't know a lot about the state's early governors. Most of them were Swedes.
Washburn went on to be a governor of Wisconsin.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe the family fortunes over in Wisconsin.
It ended up being General Mills.
A large bequest made to the city of La Crosse, Wisconsin, land bought and a building for the La Crosse Public Library erected. That from his will. He put all that in his will.
Really?
Patrick has a note on Washburn.
Washburn McCreevy. They got into the noble business of undertaking.
That's see?
What happened.
Well, do you think it's the same Washburn?
They dropped the mills and got into undertaking.
Right.
Yes.
Flowers I not know. Forever, but death is, you
back
can't
then,
avoid it.
Back then, there's, you didn't have to wait that long. You know, 40-year-old, they were all dropping dead at 40.
Let's go.
It was a bonanza.
We saw the future.
Yeah. You know what? This, this is actually a perfect time because he would love it. We need to send a fond farewell to a Daily GL listener who went down over the weekend.
Who's leaving after this show.
He went down over the weekend, a massive heart attack. I know you've heard me mention Johnny Johnson before, buddy
sure.
from town.
Yep.
46.
That's we lost, too young.
We lost Johnny on Saturday,
wow.
and he has been a GLer for longer than I've been involved in the show, since
was
your early,
a,
early.
Was he a big guy?
No. Oh,
smoker?
No. Nope, not a smoker. Hard worker.
Just a family problem, maybe?
I don't know. Hell of a guy, though, but
he's
leaving a widow and two kids and just a wonderful GLer. So here's to you, Johnny.
Johnny Johnson.
Oh, man, that's too
you
bad.
You can call me Johnny.
And right. you can call me Ray.
Well, that's a
but
shame.
But you doesn't have to call me Johnson.
That's a downer, Kenny. That guy's way too young.
Yeah, good guy, too. The whole town is in shock.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, don't know how to end the show right now.
Well, the show's over. I just ended it for you.
There we go.
And more Washburn stuff, but I'm not going to say it now.
Well, Johnny would love the fact that we brought him up with Washburn McCreevy.
Yeah.
Mention. He'd love that.
Hey, so Matt, you ever heard of Washburn McCreevy?
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, you need to go to the PodMN app. That's right, because this Saturday at the Medina Entertainment Center, it's Trilogy. The ultimate tribute show featuring the music of Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, and The Doors. Tickets for Trilogy are on sale now at MedinaEntertainment.com. And you can win tickets right now via the PodMN app.
I'll meet you in the parking lot for the pregame.
Okay. Sounds good. Look for Kenny.